The Dave and Chuck the Freak Tasty Bits podcast is powered by Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men. When you need a bit off your top, book an appointment at a Lady Jane's near you. Visit LadyJanes.com. Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men. It's wicked awesome.
I'm going to get you high today, because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
It's Friday, bitches! It's Friday, bitches! It's Friday!
What?
It's Friday!
What?
Yeah, come on! It's Friday, bitches! It's Friday, bitches! It's Friday!
What?
It's Friday!
What?
Yeah!
Yo, what's my favorite day of the week? My radio's kicking David Chuck the Freak.
It's a day celebrated all across the nation. Bitches be tripping. What's up with the Asian?
Dave with the news, douchebag of the day. Report in the hot bitch, beats away.
It's Friday, bitches. It's Friday, bitches. It's Friday.
What?
It's Friday.
What?
Yeah, come on.
It's Friday, bitches. It's Friday, bitches. It's Friday.
What?
It's Dave and Chuck the Freak's Tasty Bits Podcast.
Some random Friday facts for you here. When you mention something by saying you're not going to mention it. So I guess that's like, oh, Chuck, I just thought of something. Oh, actually, I shouldn't tell you. Like something like that,
oh,
maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I hate.
I hate that.
Oh. So like, but then because that. When you start it, you have to finish it.
Exactly.
But I think we've all probably done it. Maybe. Have we all done it? I mean,
generally, if I do that, I
just
tell you.
Spit it out.
Well, eventually, you know, everyone tells.
Yes.
But yeah. You go, I shouldn't say anything. And
right.
You go, okay. Oh, okay. It's like you're having this.
Well, because you
battle. Know. Internal battle.
Yeah.
Because if you say that to me, I'm going to fire back until you reveal it. Like, right. The conversation is going nowhere else. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going right. to be like, oh, yeah, that's okay. You didn't want to tell me. That's fine. No, I'm going to be like, tell me what is it?
Yes.
No, just tell me. Just tell me.
What
it is, you know?
You always tell, but.
You only like, say that when you really want to tell.
Like, I really shouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
But. And then you kind of edit, and then eventually you reveal the whole thing.
Yeah, James has terrible gas right now.
Well, you didn't edit anything. You just gave the facts.
I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, I want to tell you something about James' ass. Oh, wait, I can't.
I shouldn't. I can't say it.
But there's actually a term for that, a word for that. It's praetiritio. Praetiritio.
I'll never say that word.
No, because we'll never remember it.
Sounds like an Italian snack food.
Don't make me praetiritio.
She's so quick to judge.
I'll never say that word, Dave.
Yeah. I'll never. Just shut it. Shut your mouth. I'll never even. I don't even need to know it.
Let me guess. It's some kind of Latin meaning something. Some kind of other language meaning something.
Yeah, but it just means to say something you're not going to mention when you mention something by saying you're not going to mention it.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's praetiritio. I'll never use that word ever.
No,
I'm never using that.
I'll never remember. What is that called?
I didn't realize there was a term for it.
My favorite is my mom won't. She'll tell you everything, but she'll say, "Don't say anything." Every phone call, every single week.
There's like a segment of it that is it's like top secret.
Not repeat
that's
not,
don't
this.
You, I don't know. All parents, my mom does that.
So she do that.
Let me tell you about your aunt.
Right.
Lorraine,
don't.
But you can't say anything.
But don't say anything. You're the like, only one
gonna,
I'm telling.
Who am I going to tell?
That's what I.
No.
But then she's
family
like
secrets too.
But you're on the radio, so that's what she's like. Oh, don't say anything.
Yeah,
like I'm going to go on the air with all of the big reveals.
I do think I have been told stuff like that before.
This doesn't
like,
go.
This you can't
yes.
talk about this on the radio.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I do get that.
My family's my parents are kind of on the outside of all of the gossip. I think.
Oh really? My
you
mom's
know?
Right in it.
Oh yeah, I think because my dad is on the outside, and so I think it's just. I'm sure they hear some stuff, but I don't even know what's going on with my parents, so I can't tell you.
Yeah.
You know, they don't reveal a lot.
I think my problem is I'm the only child, right? So I'm the only person my mom gets to talk to about any of this stuff. So I hear more every time she talks to Ireland. I get all the dirt.
Yeah.
Oh, your cousin? You won't believe what your cousin's up to. Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I always find it interesting, though, the gossip in the family, but she always has
some. I've got some characters in my family. Especially back in Ireland.
You got that one guy.
That one guy that posts the mafia stuff on the page all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, he's something else.
Mm-hmm.
He's something else.
Yeah.
We were super close growing up too until I left Ireland. And then our lives have gone differently.
Yeah.
A little different directions. Uh-huh.
He's in the Irish mafia. I do a stupid radio show.
Yeah.
Loofahs.
Loofahs, yes.
They are made out of a dried tropical gourd. Did you know that?
No, I did not know
that. It's actually called the loofah, but spelled differently, L-U-F-F-A.
Now, are these one of the natural ones?
It sounds like it, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, not the synthetic. Because
that's the only one I've ever used in my life is a synthetic one.
Like a ball.
Yeah, a little ball of
synthetic chemicals.
Yeah, whatever that
whatever
plastic
that is.
But hang and...
I wouldn't want to put a creature on me.
Well, these are not creatures. They're kind of like huge cucumbers, tropical gourds. That's what they look like before they dry them out. They look like huge cucumbers.
Hmm.
And they dry them out, and you wash yourself with them. Oneida. You know Oneida, the silverware manufacturer?
Not really.
Well, they're one of the biggest silverware manufacturers in the world. And I didn't realize this. They basically started out as a cult.
What?
Really?
A silver cult?
A silver cult. It was founded in the late 1800s at a commune in Oneida, New York, where people practiced a new religion called perfectionism.
That was a religion?
That was a religion.
I'm going to have to look into it.
You could never last in perfectionism.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Like I just want to see what it's all about. I've never heard of it.
Cult, right? I mean, no, really, they make silverware. Like,
everybody's
got to
be totally perfect.
Where's the drugs?
Yeah, it's a different kind of cult, Lise.
The Kool-Aid is the perfect mix of water, sugar.
Lisa's like, if I'm going to join a cult, it's definitely going to be a drug one.
Where's my Kool-Aid that knocks me out or something? I don't know. I need something.
Where's Charles Manson?
Where's my special shoes?
I need new shoes and Kool-Aid. This is just like silverware and perfect people.
Where's a guy in a Speedo that we're all supposed to follow?
I'm here, right here.
Oh, there he is.
All right, guys, you're ready.
All right, this is
Church.
My cult. This is the cult for me. You got drugs? Lisa joins a cult and they're like, she's like, oh my god, this is getting wild. And then they're like, now it's time to make the silverware. Yes, make
silverware.
Your job is to make spoons
and to make forks and spoons,
and they must be perfect. It's perfectionism.
This cult is lame.
Sorry, Lisa, this fork's prong is bent a little slightly raised to the left. I don't know that you're going to be this cult's material here.
Trying
to go find another cult.
Trying to find my way out.
Oh, yeah, she makes a fork and bends it all up. Like, I don't know, I just can't get it right. Probably should just let me get out of here.
I'm not perfect. Better let me go.
What'd you do, use this fork to untie a shoelace?
No, that's just how I make them. That's how I make them.
Oh, man, this is not going
to
suffice.
That's perfect to me.
Our holy leader is not going to like this.
Yeah, it's true.
Yep, Lisa's not joining the lame cult of perfectionism.
No.
But anyway, they all, I guess, lived in one communal home, and they believed strongly in free love. Well, maybe that would have
I mean, they got part of it, right?
They had half of it.
Starting on the right path.
Yeah.
Okay. Until the founder fled to Canada to avoid some charges, and then they basically stopped practicing. But that's how Oneida came to be.
Oh.
Who's the guy who came up with it? Because he's the Speedo-wearing guy. And did he live out the rest of his life in Canada?
All good questions. I don't know the answer
to look
those.
Up the history.
See, this is why I know I'm going to end up looking it all up, if I remember.
But. I smell a Netflix docu-series.
Yeah, it's not bad. I've never heard of it.
Like, why did he have to
flee? It comes right up when you do Oneida Perfectionist. John Humphreys Noyes.
Oh, it happened a long time ago.
Yeah, it was like in the 1800s. That's what I'm saying. It was like before cults became what they are.
Christian perfectionists. Yeah. So they were a Christian cult.
Craziness.
I wonder what charges he was trying to dodge.
Probably having 25 wives.
Oh,
because it was New York City or whatever.
Terrible cult.
Oh, there's the cult leader.
He's look at him. Oh, no wonder.
He looks like Abe Lincoln.
Oh, no.
But it was
he
had all the bitches.
What was his fascination with silverware?
I don't know. Yeah, like, what switched? Well, you know what it was? He left, and then they were like, our leader just went to Canada. What are we going to do? And someone raised their hand and was like, we could. I know it sounds weird, but we could just make silverware.
You think they started that after he left?
I do.
I think Chuck nailed it, too, about the multiple wives, because it said he dubbed like the term complex marriage. What it's like Wikipedia.
So hate this.
It still exists to this day.
It does. There's people that do this.
They say it only ever got as big as about 300 people. How many people were banging each other? 300 people.
The manufacturing of silverware, the sole remaining industry of it, began in 1877, relatively late in the life of the community, and still exists. Oh, maybe the community doesn't exist, but the silverware still does.
Okay.
So when you're going to eat, you know, you're pork chops and you're
what did
think
they
about
do
this,
with it?
This guy, this psycho that
I know.
Came up
wow.
with this
I'm like,
weird cult.
Pass me that cult fork. That's what I'll say now all the time. Where's my cult fork?
Do you think any of this?
We have Oneida silverware. I know. I've seen it
you
on
do?
Print and on our.
Oh,
we
wow.
do. I have cult silverware in my
think
house
I
right
do.
Now.
Do you think that some of the original stuff like is still around? It has to be, right? Like there's got to be antiques that are still around.
It's probably worth something.
I'm sure.
It's made by cult members.
They probably worship the original silverware.
Who knows what they did
with it?
Who knows what they did with it?
Yeah.
Put those spoons in people's butts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Here's one more little knowledge nugget for you. How many times a year do you think Walmart gets sued?
Tons.
Quite a lot, I would assume. Everybody wants that
year.
Walmart money. They've seen Tracy Morgan
God,
bags
be,
of Walmart
can
money.
Can it be like, can it be thousands? Or do you think it's hundreds?
How many stores? How many people?
Like every store probably gets sued once a year, right? Just about.
Yeah.
It's, by somebody who's, you know.
Hundreds, maybe. You think it's thousands?
Well, think about this. Would you sue Walmart if, like, a shoe sniffer guy came into Walmart and started licking your feet or whatever? Do people sue Walmart as part of that whole thing just because a lawyer tells them to? Because I feel like weird stuff's always happening in there. I'm gonna say 1,000 people.
This guy's bringing it up over here, so
times.
It's got to be a lot.
I know.
This guy. This guy over here, he's bringing it.
Made his old fax list. It's got to be thousands.
Thousands, right?
Okay, what so you're what are you going? Like, give me a number. Give me a number.
Just okay, 1, so it's multiple thousands.
Is it multiple?
It's got to be. He's saying, give me a number. What? 3,000 times.
I'll go under. 1,500 times.
I was thinking around that range, Lisa, too, Lisa.
Over 7,000.
No!
Whoa. Walmart averages about 20 lawsuits a day.
A day?
They get sued approximately 20 times a day.
Huh.
Whoa.
Most of them, though, not what you'd think. Most of them are from employees.
Oh, well, they don't have the greatest reputation.
Usually, it's discrimination claims or lawsuits about overtime pay. But they average 20 times, 20 lawsuits a day. They must have a huge legal department.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Man, it would...
I wouldn't want to own a business like that where you get sued.
No.
I wouldn't want to be their lawyer either. It's nonstop work.
Well, they probably get paid tons of cash.
I know. I bet they must have thousands of lawyers too.
Oh, yeah.
Or a big firm.
A huge firm.
Yeah.
They'd have to, right?
Yeah.
Someone said actually most contractors have to sue Walmart to get paid for the work they do for them. It's how Walmart saves money. Well, then why would you ever? I mean, that's it, one and done, right? Like, I do business with them. I have to sue them to get the money, and then I'm out. I'll never have business with them again.
You know, it's crazy, but because of people that I know that had like a heating and cooling business, they would do work for different places, and you wouldn't believe how many times people won't pay you. You know,
it's pretty common.
Like,
so
that's it's, more
common.
It's a common, it's a very common thing. There's all sorts of stuff that they'll stick in fine print that, you know, will get you to not be paid. And a lot of the churches were the worst. A lot of the churches, they would go in, they would do all the heating and cooling inside a church, and then at the end, the priest would be like, so, don't you think?
The priest would?
Yeah. They'd be like, wow. don't you think it would be better if you just donated your work to Jesus?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it would happen all the time. Would happen all the time. So, I mean, it's not a shock, I guess.
Oh, okay.
A lot of times you could do work, say, in a Walmart, and if Walmart is connected to any other stores that in the building or whatever, like, and they're not full, you don't get paid until, so they could keep a place empty and not have to pay anybody. And
Jesus.
It's a lot of weird, there's a lot of weirdness out there.
Yeah, unless that's the only business in town, I'm not doing business.
But the thing is, and I think that's what it is. It's like, man, we got this great big buy from Walmart, but they're kind of not paying. Should we just sort of, you know, maybe we'll get the next bid too, and then they'll finally pay us for everything. You know, there's a lot of different reasons why people accept not getting paid for a certain amount of time, you know? And then you drop the hammer. But if you know that you're going to, like, when you sue Walmart, you know you're never going to get a Walmart contract anymore. So,
yeah, I guess you're done.
You know.
But you want your money. Just
yeah,
like
you finally want your money.
But they get about 20 lawsuits a day. They average over 7,000 a year. The Walmart legal department. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is.
This comes straight from the pages of, magazine. Denise Richards says she's worried her daughters with Charlie Sheen will have daddy issues.
Oh,
100% that they will.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
horrible.
On this week's episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Denise said, quote, there's a lot that the kids don't know about their dad, and I want to keep it that way. Even though he's Charlie Sheen, he's still, to them, their dad.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I never talk badly about him. I want him to be part of their lives because I met a lot of the women that Charlie entertained, and a lot of them had daddy issues. I don't want that to be our girls. Good luck, Denise.
Yeah, what does she think? She's just, I won't tell them about their dad, and then they won't know. Of course they'll know.
Yeah.
They'll know.
It's the internet.
Right. Yep.
Of course they'll know. There's
well,
no, there's
and
no
it's
way
just,
they could avoid
if I'm your if I'm your friend and your dad's Charlie Sheen. I'm going to let you know. Like,
so, you heard about his briefcase full of cocaine? Just lots of coke.
Chuck, the little effer friend that
your
tells you everything.
Was, your dad was pretty cool up until the point he got AIDS. You ever ask your dad about Tiger Blood?
Yeah,
Tiger Blood. You know?
Oh, little Chuck the bastard friend.
Yeah. You don't want me to know your secrets.
No. We said that too, like all those celebrities that have done something horrible, even like, you know, Pam Anderson's kids when they...
Oh, they'll see it all.
The horn honking video of her and all the stuff that they've been up to. If you've done dirty stuff, your kids are going to find it. You can't shield them from
dad
it.
Dad is not, you know, he's Tommy Lee. So
yeah.
Come on.
Tommy Lee. Your dad's Tommy Lee.
Hey, Dad. Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah. They're like, well, look.
No, that's
not the worst thing having Tommy Lee as your dad.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Leave a rating for Dave and Chuck the Freak's Tasty Bits podcast on iTunes or Google Play.
Have you heard of post-nut syndrome?
I believe we've talked about it.
Sounds like a cereal.
Post nut syndrome.
That's what I like. Don't attempt to tell me.
With a taste of post nut syndrome.
Yeah. Post nuts. Post nuts.
I don't know. It's,
you're right. I think Post is a cereal maker, right, and they make
something nuts or something. Yeah. So,
I'll have a bowl of post nut syndrome.
It's not what you're talking about.
No, it's not.
They're the grape nuts people.
Yeah, they are.
The condition describes feelings of anxiety, sadness, and depression following sex. And it's very common among men, they say.
Hmm.
That's any time I would have ever done it.
Yeah. There's like at least a few minutes where you're like, what was that?
I'm terrible.
Isn't that only when you like
awful?
Oh, what? You think? I don't know if I've ever suffered from...
I thought most guys felt great after.
Yeah. I honestly don't know if I've ever suffered from post-nut syndrome. Like, I've never... Like, depression after sex, it totally... I'm walking on sunshine.
This is kind of like masturbator's remorse when you take care of yourself. There's something you're not too proud of. You wouldn't want anybody to find out that that's what got you to that moment type deal.
No, I don't have any of that either.
Oh, well, I guess I... made a shocking reveal.
Yes. No, I mean, I'm... Not therapy with I've definitely had the same thing happen. I just don't feel any remorse over it. I just know, like...
Oh, really? That's what did it?
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Nope.
I hope nobody finds my porn history.
Oh, man. Yep.
Describe the system, they say it's like when your dong tricked you into effing a girl that you've been trying to avoid.
Okay. That I can...
And you're like, F.
That's the only thing I could understand where you're like, man, dude,
don't do
it. It's like banging an ex-girlfriend where you were like completely separated and everything was like you were on your way to like just forget about that broad. And then something happens. You meet up. You happen to have a, you know, and you bang. And it's like, God damn it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, guys, have you ever suffered?
Done with that person?
Have you ever suffered from post-nut syndrome? 1-855-954-6969. Toll free, 1-855-954-6969. Or text us at 46969. When you effed a girl and you're like, ah, she's crazy. Then you had post-nut syndrome. Someone said, you realize you made a mistake, especially if the woman is really into you and you're really not into her. And you're like, ah, I made an error. I feel like an a-hole.
Isn't that just regret and not
no.
depression? You said depression. So
yeah, depression's different.
Depression.
Anxiety, sadness, and depression are among the feelings they list with post-nut syndrome.
Anxiety, I could see.
Maybe there's a certain scenario that would cause depression. I don't know.
It is more regret, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, though? I think you could go the depressed route if you are a guy who is, like, really super into a chick. And you know that she's not, but she banged you just...
Right.
But you're like...
Yeah, that... I guess
you're
that
like in love with her and hoping it all works out. And she just banged you because you were the, you know, you were there.
Right.
The only time I can ever say I've had this was when I lost my virginity at 13.
Because it must have been a lot of emotions at
that
point.
There was a lot. I mean, part of me was like, yes...
Yeah,
but then part of me was like, what happened?
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's a lot to process at 13.
Yeah. I have a condom. Like, there are so many, so many problems in that situation, how it unfolded. That,
yeah, that's why there's a kid running around.
I don't, there's no
little
kid.
Dave.
Stop it. There's no little Irish Dave. He's not little anymore.
No.
No, he's an old man.
Yeah.
But so they say, turns out post-nut syndrome is actually a medical condition. It's officially called post-coital tristesse.
Sure.
But that condition can actually, it can affect women too.
Well, I'm sure half the people they've decided to do something with, they regret almost instantly.
Most women.
Like, oh my God, that was not
that
worth
was
it.
Okay,
choice.
So when did you bang someone and instantly regret it? Like, what was your post-nut syndrome story? 1-855-954-6969. Someone says it sounds just like banging a big chick.
Mm. Well, I think, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you get a bambino and you're feeling pretty bad about
there's
it.
There's some feelings there. I mean,
well, and I do understand that if there was like a bigger girl that liked you, but you were like, well, I would never, like, I'm not into them. But then you got super drunk and then you did something. I don't think it's right to like lead someone on in that way.
Mm.
And I could understand feeling bad afterwards, like, oh my God.
Someone said, I definitely had post-nut syndrome one time. I was banging a girl who was into me, but I wasn't into her. She said, I love you, right as she climaxed.
Oh,
I said it back, but
instantly regret it.
Oh, God.
Instant post-nut syndrome.
That's terrible.
That's so bad.
Don't.
Because you know,
I might start crying after that.
I might. What did I say?
I might. I mean, I might be like, that James Wan dive. That's terrible. You got to really watch what when you say something like that.
Oh, my God. Just throw that out there. That's horrible.
Someone said post-nut syndrome. I call that my entire
20s. Yeah.
Yeah, a study of 1,200 men found 41% had experienced some form of post-nut syndrome. They say the results prove a man's experience of sex is far more complex than originally thought.
Well, yeah, there's a million different scenarios on how, like, why you're even having sex with a person. How did you make it happen? What have you both gone through? You know. I mean, it's all weird. And
I've never had post-nut syndrome, this person says, but I've had post-nut clarity where you jack it before making a big decision.
Yeah. Yeah. There are people that say that.
Yeah, you know, like taking a load off, so to speak.
Yeah.
Justin's in Waterford. Justin, have you ever suffered from post-nut syndrome?
Did you put that on pause?
Hello?
No, I didn't.
Justin.
I don't think I did anything. You got the thing up
over
there?
He must have I didn't know. It's me.
He just
Okay.
Hello?
Okay. Justin.
All right. Hi, Justin.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, so it's a post-nut syndrome story. It's kind of a funny thing with me. So I was always hanging around this bad girl, you know, best friends kind of thing. You know, eventually your boys get to talking to you and you're ready to go. And as soon as you're finished, you're like, oh, man, kind of wish I went in and did that. It was a chick I wasn't really into. My boys are kind of, you know, giving me the go-ahead and wasn't really my choice.
How did the relationship go with the friendship after that? Did you just say?
It was fine, yeah. It was just, you know, mutual kind of thing. Kind of hung out and knew it was going to happen again, but always had that post-nut syndrome every time.
Every time.
So it didn't stop him.
No. Sounds like you're kind of into her.
Temporarily depressed. Yeah. And then, okay, let's bang again. Someone else texted us saying, it's real. On a coke and booze fueled night, I ended up taking down a really big girl. Right when I was finished, I was so ashamed. I said, I'm going to the bathroom. I ran to my car, leaving my favorite shirt and underwear behind.
My goodness.
He left his underwear?
I still have them. I put them in a frame. I hung them in my living room. I'm my greatest lover.
The one that got away.
Yeah.
Wow, you are desperate.
It's like the male Cinderella. I'm waiting to. I make every guy.
Gotta see
I meet.
The man thong piece of butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Make some try on briefs.
Yeah, put these on.
Try these briefs on.
Too small. Too big.
Cinderella.
I'll find my male Cinderella.
Cinderfella.
Yeah.
Jackson is with us in Ontario. Jackson, we're talking about guys suffering from post nut syndrome, and I guess women as well. What was your story?
Well, it happens. It happens when you cheat. In a past relationship, went through it a couple of times, and yeah, just after you cheat, it's kind of a horrible feeling. But getting there feels great.
Right. Just,
that's right. After.
It's the after.
Yeah. It's the what are you doing?
It's immediately after, and then it kind of goes away after a bit.
Yeah.
How many times do you think you cheated and suffered from post-nut syndrome?
A handful of times, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, dude. All the best.
Yeah.
I think a lot of women have the regret right in the middle.
Oh, really? Like, during that
syndrome? During, like, my God, what did I do?
Jesus Christ.
Are you almost done?
Why are we doing this?
This is done. This is the worst.
This was a bad choice.
I would assume.
And maybe some guys, too. Maybe in the middle. I'm not sure.
Well, it's all, you know.
Yeah.
Guys are bad and girls are bad.
Yeah.
It goes both ways there.
More likely to get to the finish line as a dude.
Yeah.
If a guy said something bad.
Never worry about
like
a finish line. It's no big deal.
the guy said something bad or was doing, you know, was really lazy or was sweating all over you or whatever.
Right. Sure, something goes wrong and it's just not, it's not.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
Voice changing technology, as Anonymous joins us from Boston. We're talking about when you suffered from post-nut syndrome. What's your story?
Prepare to peg.
Prepare to peg.
Prepare to peg.
How's it going, guys? So I was actually in college when this happened. Basically, I drank way too much, blacked out, should not have by any human standards been standing at that point. But I was walking around with a friend, matched with this big girl on Tinder, went to a party at her house, hooked up with her. I don't remember any of this, right? So I'm, this is all being recounted to me the next day. Basically, there was a spring concert the next day. I was thinking about meeting up with this girl at the spring concert. My buddy, who was with me at the time and just making sure I was alive, essentially, he basically was like, no, you don't want to meet up with her. Anyways, like, I didn't listen to him. I wound up meeting up with her. Obviously, like, within 10 seconds of meeting up with her, this girl was, like, three times the size. I was like, what have I done?
Yeah.
Like, why am I blacked out and I just find my way into an elephant's room?
Oh, Jesus. I just...
But basically, what wound up happening was me and my friend worked out a few kind of hidden signals. So basically, as soon as I met up with that girl, I gave the hidden signal and he came over and rescued me because I was like, I need to be out of here. I cannot be here right now.
Yeah. He tried to warn you off the top. He's like, you're not going to want to go back there.
Nah. Yeah. And unfortunately, I didn't listen.
No.
Penis does what it wants.
It couldn't have been that bad. Yeah.
No, it does. Sometimes a penis leads the way. The penis causes post-nut syndrome sometimes.
Yeah, sure. It's his fault almost all the time.
Yeah, I would agree. This guy says, I wonder if it has something to do with premature stuff.
Well, I mean, maybe that would be terrible.
Mm. Well, is
premature
cause,
when it doesn't work.
Does that, is that post-nut? I don't know. Like, well, I guess post-nut, it went off too soon and you're like, oh.
Yeah, that's post. Yeah, that's post.
I'm sure the women have that then too.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Listen, we know it's not. We know it's not.
Don't worry about
all
it.
Girls have that script.
I totally got there.
Yeah. So supportive.
Oh, my
I totally
God.
Got there.
It was impossible for you to.
Don't worry,
unless you're
there,
a
really.
Human
Ooh.
Anomaly.
Ooh,
I didn't even, it hardly touched you.
I'm so sad.
And it went off, so.
That's a supportive Aww. Lady. That's a nice lady right there.
Yes.
Next line, regular caller, Lou from Boston. Hi, Lou.
Hey, how we doing?
Doing okay. So we're talking about guys that suffer from post-nut syndrome, feelings of anxiety, sadness, and depression following sex.
Oh, my God. We're living in a land of wimps. I mean, guys, you know, just dump the chowder and go. Girls clamp it down if they don't want it. If you're in there, it's because they want it. You know, if you're going out in safari and you're catching yourself a Huffalump, you know, they want it. Don't feel bad about it. Just give them what they want.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, Lou, you've never suffered from post-nut syndrome.
Right, Lou.
Nope, he doesn't.
Never.
Lou should be a motivational speaker.
Yeah, he really should.
This is the day to move on.
Yep. Yeah. All right, Lou, thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
I want to get a shirt that says, dump the chowder.
Yeah.
Dump the chowder.
Just dump the chowder.
Lou's never been concerned with the emotional well-being of a woman.
No.
I think is what we're quickly figured out. He's like, you just don't feel stuff.
Yeah.
She wants it, even though she said she loved you.
Life's easy when you don't feel anything.
Yeah. You can turn off the feelings.
Then you're good.
Simple. Yeah.
Someone said, nothing like calling out your wife's sister's name during sex to give you post-nut depression.
I mean, why'd you do that?
Recover from
oh,
that.
My God.
How do you even do that?
I don't know if you ever can recover from that.
The really only ones that make any sense is someone that you were, like, in a relationship with.
An ex.
It's very odd to call out someone else's name that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Those times aren't associated with it.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Here's our first woman that is messaging us about post finale syndrome, I guess.
Yeah.
She said, I got drunk at the company Christmas party, ended up having sex in the guy's car.
Uh-oh.
was so bad.
And then you have to go to work.
Instant regret.
That's really bad.
Oh, yeah. Then you got to see that person.
You got to see that person.
Yeah. You had car sex.
Yeah.
It'd be like, you know, Chuck and James banging in a car. Then they got to come to work together the
next
morning.
We're fine. We were fine.
I have a lot of room in my back seat, Dave.
Yeah.
It's not as uncomfortable as you'd think.
Yep.
Really?
Just have to know going in.
Yeah, the seats go down.
Oh, okay. Did they as well in the Homo Hot Rod or no?
Absolutely. They did.
Oh, yeah.
Did. That was the hot, hung, and rich mobile.
Oh, yes. HHR. this guy said, I'm a skinny white dude. After multiple random big girl hookups, I definitely find myself with post-nut syndrome. But damn, those big girls do some stuff, he says.
Sure.
I always find my way back.
This is the thing. If you make a choice, like, hey, listen, I'm going to lower what my normal standards would be for tonight, and I'm going to do it. I don't think that would, it shouldn't cause you any kind of regret. You made the choice to do it. The stuff that causes regret is when, like, there's a big girl that's been chasing you for 3 years.
And then in love.
And you're like, you know what? It's been so dry. I'm going to, you know, that's the kind of thing that I would feel bad about.
Or any person that you just weren't really into.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
This woman
size.
Said, mine was definitely in the middle, like Lisa said. It was the first time I had hooked up with this guy. We were having missionary. About 2 minutes in, he said, are you ready for me to finale?
Oh, my God.
She said, I kind of half chuckled and said, no.
Are you ready?
But he still did anyway.
Oh.
Are you ready for me to finale?
You're just thinking of the ways to leave to get out of the place.
I love that she said no.
No. No. Oh.
No.
Well, hold it. Then, okay. Hold on. I'll wait another 10 seconds.
You just got yourself 90 more seconds.
You just bought yourself another 35. Oh, don't move. Oh, please don't move.
Geez,
oh,
well,
oh, boy.
Now you've made a liar of me.
18.
Another text here. I definitely had post-nut syndrome after I banged a woman who was almost 60 when I was 21.
Oh,
whoa.
Jeez, that is.
Whoa. Afterwards, I was like, what have I done? And then I snuck out at 4 in the morning.
See you later, cowboy. You know what you did. At least you know I can't get pregnant.
Oh, post-nuts.
Oh, my.
Let's go to Nick, who's with us in Ann Arbor this morning. Hi, Nick.
Hey, good morning.
So when was your post-nut syndrome?
Well, I try to avoid it altogether. So I know it would be coming if I go see my ex, and it's a good possibility we might sleep together and therefore cause post-nut. So every time before I go see her, I make sure to jerk off so I don't go there with a full load.
Right, so you pound it to oblivion.
Right.
Yeah, so pound it to oblivion.
He gets ahead of the post-nut syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows it'll happen, so that's smart. A lot of guys don't have the, you know.
Yeah,
the,
but then a lot of times you end up in the, you're in the throes of it, and then you're just, your guy just doesn't work because you've pounded him, but you still try.
Yeah.
You're like, I told you not to do this.
Someone said, you guys are killing me right now. I'm working in a chemistry lab, working with cyanide and giggling uncontrollably.
Be careful.
Yes.
Put the cyanide down.
Don't blow anything up. If something in Florida blows up, we'll know we were responsible. Steve's in Massachusetts. Steve, what was your post-nut syndrome experience?
Okay, so ripcord.
Ripcord.
This happened, this was like 35 years ago. I was in the service, got back from a cruise, got a room with a couple of shipmates. We were going to party, drink, and all that. And it was a holiday weekend. We're walking down the street, kind of like, geez, where's an open liquor store? And there was this girl walking towards us. And I just, it happened to be me, I asked, so do you know where a liquor store is? And she pointed, and I guess because it was me that spoke, she kind of latched on to me. We had already gotten a room. So the next thing you know, I told the other two guys, here's some money, why don't you get me some wine? I'm going to go up to the room with her. There was no word spoken. She wasn't a prostitute. It was weird. So we went up to the room, didn't even talk much, and we did what we did. So she had, when we met, she was wearing jeans, and the crotch was ripped, and she had no underwear.
Oh,
she had a couple of her teeth were black. This was just a heart. Oh. I was young. And yeah. I was young, had no morals, always, you know, I thought downstairs, you know, didn't matter, you know. And so we're up in the room, it was over, the whole thing was done very quickly, and then my friends show up, or if you want to call them friends, they show up, they got me a bottle of wine, and instead of drinking it, I took the entire bottle of wine, didn't even go in the bathroom, right on the carpeted floor, I used that as an antiseptic.
Oh my God.
The whole thing.
You just doused your genitals in wine.
Totally bathed in red wine, went all over everywhere, and there's more. That was just the beginning of the day, but that's enough to share with you guys.
That's a lot. That's a crazy start.
Yeah.
You have to douse your genitals in wine just to make sure you don't get...
Well, you know, you had a few black teeth.
And a crotch.
And an open crotch.
Open crotch.
Open crotch and a couple of black teeth.
Open crotch and black teeth is like the worst pirate ever.
It's like two pirates. Like it a is. Pirate duo.
I'm open crotch.
And I'm black teeth. We sail the seas. Plundering, pillaging. Having sex with sailors. That's what we love to do the most.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Come on, open crotch. A tailor and a dentist need ye.
Scary pirates.
Hard to find both on the open seas. Black teeth, what do you see? I don't know, open crotch.
I'll keep an eye up here at the top of the ship.
Yeah, no, let me climb up.
Yeah, get up there.
You stay down. I don't.
Oh, why? You don't want to look and see.
I don't want to look up into your open crotch. I'll climb up. I do the climbing.
I get it.
He stays on the ground. Just steer the boat open, crotch.
All right.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, watch out for open crotch and black teeth.
You don't want to climb that ladder.
No, you don't. Oh boy, open Jesus. Crotch is going up there again. There,
open crotch's balls are out again.
Well, they're always out.
Thanks for checking out the Dave and Chuck the Freak Tasty Bits podcast. If you want to hear the entire Dave and Chuck the Freak show from today, subscribe and download the podcast now from the Apple Podcast app or the Google Play Store.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.